First John chapter 5. This outline is for several weeks, at least two. We won't get through it today. I don't want you to panic when you see we're coming to the end and we're not through. We're not going to be through. We're going to talk about how faith works, how to exercise your faith. And these are the four key points. Faith works by confidence in the living God, by confession of His word of truth, by action that corresponds with our confession, that validates our confidence, and by conformity to the law of love. If we don't walk in love, then our faith is roadblocked. It may be strong, but it just won't work. One year we were going to hear a speaker that was come to Tampa that we were interested in years ago, and there was an accident on I-4, and of course, we were roadblocked for some time. Now, our destination was clear, but the road wasn't clear. And finally, we watched other people go across the median, and we followed suit and came on home. It was futile to think that we would ever get there on time or even before the music ended, so we came home. And if we're not walking in love, our faith is roadblocked. May nothing be wrong with your faith. It just isn't going to go anywhere. Hateful faith isn't going to work. Is that an amazing?
Yes.
Now, faith begins with confidence. Confidence in the living God. And we'll start with 1 John chapter 5. And 1 week we'll get back to love. Verse 14, this is a confidence we have in Him. The confidence we have in God. I don't know if you have confidence in somebody. I have extreme confidence in Wayne Cumby. You could say he was walking with a cute blonde downtown, and I'd tell you that was our granddaughter. Because I know him. We've been married 55 years this month. And I know him. I have great confidence in him. This is the man that stayed up with me day and night when I had a back problem and didn't sleep at night. This is the one who packed me in ice and was hunting my favorite scriptural music in the middle of the night. And finally it dawned on us, it must be in the car. And so, 3 in the morning, he who sleeps in the dark, absolute quiet, is listening to music with the little lights on in the machine, and he's obviously not sleeping. But I have confidence in his help. I have confidence in his compassion. I have confidence in his keeping his word. Now, what we do, because we are human, if Wayne's going on an errand, I will write everything down for him if I'm not going. If I'm going on an errand, I know you, like me, you've been in the middle of a store and you can't remember. You know, you came after toothpaste and, you know, it just doesn't come to you. So we write things down that keeps us on target. And God has written all this down for us so that we can read and have confidence, so we can open our Bible and go back to it and read it again and again and again. Now, we talked about Job, and part of Job's problem was he didn't have anything to go read, anything to go back to. And he wasn't part of the covenant of Abraham, the Jews call the Abrahamic covenant. And he didn't have the Spirit of God within. He didn't have eternal life. So he's handicapped. But he did say, would to God there was a daysman that could lay one hand on God and one hand on me and bring the two together. So his spirit was working to draw him to truth. And your spirit will be working to draw you to truth, to draw you to a point of ultimate confidence. Confidence is when you're unmoved, you're settled. Nobody can talk you out of it. You know, somebody can have confidence in a wrong idea. You've probably been there. Talk to somebody, their idea was totally out of whack, and they're absolutely sure that you are wrong and they are right. And there is an unshakable confidence in God's word. This is a confidence we have in Him. Now, you can't say, I trust Becky, I have confidence in her. Well, you can't trust her word, but you can trust her. See, that's a contradiction of terms. God and His word are the same. If you trust me, it's because you trust my word. There was a little man that came to our house to do some cabinet work years ago, and he always told me, I'll be there, ma'am, between 9 and 9:15. He always gave himself 15 minutes. And so one day I asked him about that. He said, I do not want to break my word. I cannot be late. That breaks my word. So I give myself 15 minutes. So being as smart as I am, you know, I'm from Auburndale, and Auburndale people are quite brilliant, and I always gave myself 30 minutes. I said, I'll be there between 9 and 9:30. When I text my sister who lives in town, I say, I will be there 9 o'clock-ish. She knows ish means more or less. Because I don't want to break my word. I thought, you know, I don't even know if that man was a Christian or not, but I like that. I like the fact that we're committed to our word. God is committed to his word. We have his nature, his life, and we are committed to his word, and we're committed to our word. And when we embrace his word, we know if we don't turn loose of that word, the scripture uses the term draw back. If we don't draw back, if we don't relinquish that word is going to come to pass. Now, the thing that keeps us and causes us to draw back is our feelings, our emotions. There was a lady asked me to pray for her, and I prayed. And she said, well, that didn't work. So I thought, you know, some people you can't help, but I just pray again. Why not? And so I prayed again, and she said, that still didn't work. Now, she's trying to sense something, to feel something, to have some emotional validation that God is working. But this is strictly confidence in what God has said. Now, this word confidence is unique and very interesting in the scripture. It means bold, blunt, frank speech. It has to do with your words. It means bold, blunt, frank speech. And this is a confidence I'm so sure about it, so sure about Wayne's behavior, so sure about God's promise that I'm bold to say it. And it leads us to confession. Confession is to say what God is saying. And so this is the confidence. This is the bold, blunt, frank speech I have about God. Because he has said, if we ask anything according to his will, and that's the key, is to ask according to his will. You know, you can ask for something. I used to use the word asinine, but I found out people were offended. So I don't ever say that anymore because they don't know what you said. And it's because their vocabulary is slim. But that's a legitimate word. It doesn't mean what you first thought it meant. And so I've ditched that word. But it means behavior that's erratic and ridiculous and out of whack. And as long as I'm in agreement with God, as long as I embrace his promise, then my behavior is going to validate that I really do believe that. And you know, in case you say, well, I think that works or I hope that works, I got my fingers crossed. See, that means I'm not confident. I'm not sure. Means I'm letting my emotions and my feelings sway me, and everybody does that. I don't know if your sciatic nerve has jumped ship like mine did, but gives you plenty of time to jump ship and to say, oh, this is not working. But you have to be confident in God, absolutely confident, absolutely sure that you've asked according to his will, because he said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. He sent his word to heal you. No weapon formed against you prospers. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word we're confident in. That's the word we're sure of. That's the word we're not going to back down from. And my body's not going to tell me that's not true. I visited a little lady, and she'd been really ill, and she was in her recliner. And she had this little table by the recliner, you know, about this round, and it was medicines all the way across. Well, I looked at that and I thought, this may be difficult. She may not want to hear healing. Well, she was absolutely positive that she was sick and that she wasn't getting better, and you couldn't actually help her. And you can't help everybody. Well, you don't refuse to give it a try. Sometimes the door opens up and the Holy Spirit just moves in their heart and they do see what you're saying. Well, she didn't see it that day. I had that happen twice. The other was a little lady. It was her dining room table. You know those old dining room tables? They usually were square, but hers were round and were kind of vinyl on top with metal edging. That's what she had. And it was medicines all the way across, all the way across. And when you see that, you know that they're dependent on the doctor and they don't know Jesus, the healer. And we're not opposed to medicine. You know, Jesus said those that are sick need a physician, not those that are well. So he was not against doctors, and we are not against doctors, and many of us are alive because of doctors. We're grateful for their expertise, but when I go to the doctor, I take Jesus and the Holy Spirit with me. Because I'm listening. I say, it's just the truth. Wayne is, I've made a paper mache. He's made a cast iron. It doesn't matter what you do. His body doesn't care. My body instantly says, what was that? I can tell you within 3 or 4 days to a week if a medicine has side effects. Every time. I give them the hardest time because I'm very cautious and I pray everything through. Now you can just dump it in Wayne. His body don't care. But you can't do that to me. And so when I go, when we go, and when Wayne goes, we take God with us. Our confidence is not in the doctor. Our confidence is in God and God moving through that doctor to do what I need him to do. Now, sometimes I would not go at all. I'm so confident and so sure and God has dealt with me. I'm going to stay home on my sofa. I am an ice pack person. You may be a heating pad person. I'm an ice pack person. And I'm not an aspirin person or a ibuprofen. Almost never. I don't need to do that for me. But if you need to do that, and I don't know why I'm going in this direction. It's not in my notes. There's nothing wrong with medicine. But you take it in faith. You take it in confidence. You take and know that the great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks. Do you know that hymn? The wounded song to hear. Hear the voice of Jesus. The great physician now is here, the songwriter said. The great physician now is here. God told the people of Israel, I am the Lord, your physician. One translation says, I am the Lord and it's health I bring to you. And I love that better. It's health I bring to you. And that's what the gospel of 3 John said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and we be in health. See, God's goal is not healing for you. His ultimate goal is health. That you don't need any healing because you walk so close to His Word and the power of His Spirit. Yay. The Holy Spirit brings life to your mortal flesh. Let's look at that verse again. We looked at it a few weeks ago. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4. It is. Verse 10. See, we know that sin can affect the human body. Everybody knows that. Nobody would argue with that. You can't sin and sin and sin and not expect your body to know that you took drugs, or that you committed adultery, that you're with multiple women or men. The body knows. The body's going to record that thing. Those things are going to snap back and bite you. But what we've not realized is eternal life also affects the body. And it brings healing and it brings health. And health is God's goal. Now verse 10 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Always. You see that word always? It's a great word. It means every when. When? Every when. When does this work? Every when. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest. The life of Jesus, eternal life that you have in you, is manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, watch this, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Eternal life is manifest in your flesh, in your body. Healing comes from the inside, from the Spirit to the outside. Now, you are a spirit being, and the Holy Spirit's a teacher of the Word, and God's Word is Spirit. John 6:63 says God's Word is Spirit. If God's Word is Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who explains God's Word, where would He put that explanation? Not in your mind. It's Spirit to Spirit. And in that transition where the Spirit of God is bringing this Word, which is Spirit, to my spirit, and my spirit is beginning to absorb the life of that Word, and the life of that Word is beginning to penetrate from my spirit into my body and into my mind. Now, I'd like to say it's always instant, but as you know, it seems to be seldom instant. I found out years ago from personal experience. I'm not really smart. I've just been through a lot of jams, learn some things. Have you been there? And I found out healing is generally progressive. And when the Bible says, suddenly always comes after a long wait. And I don't know why you don't realize that at first. You think, oh, it was so sudden, it was just, and then you realize, that wasn't sudden, I've been believing that for 3 months. And so we're going to be confident. How long are we going to be confident, sure of God's promise? Till the answer manifests. Till the answer manifests. Now look at Titus 1. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. This is why we're confident. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world began, God promised eternal life. Eternal life is in the human spirit of all those who believe. which God that cannot lie. If you find it in God's Word, and that's what 1 John 5 says, the confidence we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, according to His will, according to His Word. God and His Word are united. I should be united with my Word. One little lady used to invite me for lunch decades ago. I'm not hesitant to say I've lived decades already. I used to say this is the final quarter of my life, and I said that to one day, God said, it's the end of the third. And that was years ago, so I figure I've maybe made the final quarter. But you walk in the final quarter in all that you've learned and known and embraced from your previous studies. You begin to grow, you begin to mature in the things of God. You know more today than you knew yesterday, and part of it you've learned by just doing the wrong thing. You're thinking, oh boy, that didn't work. God that cannot lie, cannot lie. Now look at Hebrews 6. A little lady used to invite me for lunch, and I used to occasionally go to lunch with ladies before Wayne retired. He's been retired 18 or 19 years now. And so I wrote it in my calendar in ink. I wrote it, you know, she's going to call me that morning, tell me where to meet her, but she didn't call. Well, so I thought, well, she forgot or something. And so we did that several times. So I took out my pencil next time she called me, and I wrote it on my calendar in pencil because it's probably not going to happen. She wasn't a person of her word. I don't think she meant to be that way. I think she was careless is what I think. So I wrote in pencil. That way, when she doesn't call, I can erase it or mess up my calendar. I don't know if you live by calendar, but we do. Okay, so after several tries of writing it in pencil, and she didn't call. I think one time we had lunch of all the calls she made. I just didn't write down at all. I just thought, she calls. If she doesn't, she doesn't. I was not confident in her because her word was not her bond. But God said, you can trust my word. If I said it, you can believe it. If I said it, it shall be performed. What Elizabeth said to Mary when Mary went to her carrying the Christ child, she said, there shall be a performance of those things which were told you. There shall be a performance of those things. I love that, those things. That's in Luke chapter 1. Now look at Hebrews 6. It helps our heart to go through these scriptures that are very simplistic because we need to be reminded, I don't care what your dilemma, what your trauma, what your problem, how long it's been, God has not forgotten you. Verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly. Do you see He's willing abundantly? I know you've had something that you thought you might tell it and probably you wouldn't tell it. Well, you could tell it. Probably that's none of their business. Have you ever been there? God says He's willing abundantly to make sure you as His heirs get His promise. He's abundantly willing. The heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, that's His advice, His purpose, His word. God has certain advice, certain words for you, and He's abundantly willing that those words come to pass in your life. And He said His counsel, those words He's given, the plan He has for you is immutable. Now, did you watch Mutant Ninja Turtles? I didn't. I'm not a movie person. I haven't seen a movie in years. I don't like them. You can go all you want if you choose carefully. We are not all identical. That's what hurt the church in the early days. They had these rules that they said God said, which God didn't say, and everybody was responsible. See, I went in to check on nurseries because I coordinated nurseries for our denominational church, and the sign over the door at the church said, women do not enter this building in pants. God doesn't approve. Well, that wasn't God. That was their religious concept. See, so we want to hold to the word and not what someone said that God said, but what God actually said. What was actually truth? I haven't worn a dress in so long. When I bought this, because it was on a sale table, I decided it's too short. Now, one lady told me I could wear short dresses. I thought, you don't know me. Because that is not going to happen. So I decided to wear it this way. I've worn it two or three times. Because that suits me. Because that's who I am. Because I'm responsible for a public appearance when I stand behind this pulpit and to represent the gospel, not only in what I say, but in my appearance. And I have to be satisfied with not with your appearance. Don't care what you do. That's the truth. That's really the truth. But I have to be responsible to myself and to Wayne Cumbie. You see, I represent the gospel. Now look, God's counsel is immutable. It doesn't change. It's always the same. If God said it, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. Now, the only thing that would keep it from coming to pass is if I deserted what God said. And physical pressure, especially if it's in the realm of healing when you're not well, causes us to jump ship, as is time. Time is the biggest enemy of faith. After so long, you think, I can't stand this. Have you ever said that? I have. Two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. God cannot lie. He said you were healed. He said you were healed at Calvary. Then you were healed. You were healed. You are healed. Calvary healed you. That's what God said. If your body doesn't record that, you keep talking to it. Blunt, frank speech. That's what confidence defines that in the Greek. And so I begin to speak what I know of God. I begin to speak that I am healed. My body will speak right up and say, you're in more pain today than you were yesterday. And I'm telling you, family are a wonderful help. They'll say, you look awful today. Do you feel worse? Do you have family that helps you like that? Don't listen. I wouldn't tell them anything. Unless I got desperate for a ride to the emergency room, I wouldn't tell them no. You do what you want to. Now look at 1 Kings. Oh, thank God for the word of God. Thank God God performs his word. Thank God he watches over his word. Thank God he never breaks his promise. And this is one of my favorite, verse 56 of chapter 8, 1 Kings. I read the Bible by inspiration. I read from pillar to post. I don't have a reading plan. People do that. Some do that with great success. I know a lady that does that. And she remembers. She'll quote from Isaiah and Ezekiel. And I'm thinking, you know, if I didn't just read that yesterday, I'm probably not going to be quoting it today. But for me, I say, Holy Ghost, where do I belong? And early this year, I read the book of 1 Kings. That's what reminded me of it. And after I read 1 Kings, I read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I take time to pray and to determine, now, what would be next? What do I need next? That's the way I do it. You don't have to do what I do. The thing that hurts us is conformity. Conformity to these odd rules and regulations that are not written. We're talking about everybody together doing what's written. You got that. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people. He promised them rest. He gave them rest. He kept his word. It took him 40 years. And you know why it took him 40 years? Because they wouldn't obey. See, if God tells me to give Sadie $100, but I don't want to. Now, she may be desperate for it, but she's got to wait on me to be obedient. And if I'm not obedient, if I just say, I'm just not going to do it, then he's got to find somebody else. So the time is not her fault. It's the fault of the people who are not obedient. And they waited. They walked in the wilderness 40 years before they came to the promised land, the land of rest, because they wouldn't obey. See, we need to be quick to obey, quick to grasp his word, quick to hold fast his word, who giveth rest unto the people according to all that he promised. He gave rest. He promised rest. He gave rest. This is my favorite part. There hath not failed one word of all the good his good promise. Not failed one word. Do you know how big that is? Which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Every word he promised to Moses came to pass. Now, it didn't all come to pass immediately, but over time, as God's people lined up with his word, the promise came to pass. Not one word. And if I say, the kid says, I have to have new tennis shoes, and I say, we will get tennis shoes tomorrow. But what we do is we don't keep our word, and we teach our children not to keep their word. And tomorrow comes, and you're too tired. And you say, no, we will get new tennis shoes Saturday. And you only changed one word from tomorrow to Saturday. And God says, I will not even change one word of my statement to you. Not one word. We don't hesitate to do that. See, you know what that does? That makes Mama a liar. Grandmama, since most of us, more of us are grandmothers than not. It makes us liars. So what I do, like the little man said, I'll be between 9 and 9:15, I tell my children, we will do that as soon as I can get to it. Gives me a window. Because I cannot break my word, because God will not break His. And I'm made in His image, and I'm His child. I'm going to walk in His word, walk in His will. I'm going to do exactly what He would do. You know, if I do break my word, you have to be quick to repent. See, that's part of conforming to the law of love. It's being quick to repent when you see you've missed it. Well, not one word. Can you imagine that? Not one word fails. Not one word. Now look at Psalms 119. This is another one that's my favorite over the years. Verse 89. 1 year I read the book of Psalms twice, back to back. The first time I read it, I noticed there was a lot of scriptures that could be used to pray for government. And I thought I should write those down, but I didn't. I'm not into hard work. Some people enjoy hard work. I don't really. So I read all 150 Psalms, and then I heard in the Spirit. Now do that again and write those verses down. So I read it twice. Well, I started in Psalms. I didn't start in Genesis. I have to know what God wants for me, what works in my life. If you can read from Genesis to Revelation and that works for you, I'm 100% for that. But I can't do that, you see. Just like I'm not going to wear a dress, but I don't care if you wear one. I mean, you hardly ever see a dress anymore. And who cares? That's my theory. God keeps His word. Confident. Now, confidence leads to confession. Turn to Hebrews. Tell you where in Hebrews it is. Chapter 10, I believe. And it is. We're confident. We're sure of God. God keeps His word. He keeps every single word. You know, Jesus said, I've not come to destroy the law, but I keep every jot and tittle. That means every T is crossed and every I is dotted. He said, I keep the word. There's not even an I that fails to be dotted. Well, if you saw my handwriting, you'd think I didn't have handwriting. But in elementary school, they used to teach handwriting. I'm totally a proponent of that, by the way. Nobody's asked me, but that's my opinion. Little girl on the glue commercial, if you've seen the glue commercial, she tells all about this glue. This is the best glue in the whole world. And she says, well, it's just my opinion. And that's just my opinion. But if you saw my handwriting, not every T is crossed, not every I is dotted. Sometimes there's some words I don't even put ing on the end. Suzanne, who's worked for me over 20 years, she knows how to read that. And I abbreviate. R always stands for righteousness. I just put R period righteousness and go on. I have a shorthand that she's now mostly familiar with after all these years. But you see, God said, every I is dotted, every T is crossed of my word. Not one word. I mean, it's perfect. His word is perfect. Is that amazing? And He is not a liar. And He is going to keep His word. Well, look. At verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. When you cast something away, you throw it in the garbage, you fling it away, you abandon it, which hath great recompense of reward. The reward, the thing that you need, the thing that you're believing for, the health and the healing or the prosperity or the work in your children or your grandchildren. He said, don't ever cast that confidence away because it looks like it's not working. I read the story of a missionary to Africa, went in utter failure. None of the tribesmen would receive the word. They wouldn't even let him live close to them. He lived on top of the mountain. They almost starved to death. His wife got very ill. She died of malaria. He came back to the States, and for the next 60 years, he was mad at God. Mad, mad, mad. Well, they had a child, and he gave that child away to another missionary. He didn't want to raise the child himself. He's mad. And then that couple had some dilemmas, and they gave the child to somebody else. So the child was actually raised in a foreign country, was not native to the, was not English speaking, as was the original, the parents. Well, that child grew up and went to a missionary convention, and somebody said he found his father, who was still home after 50 or 60 years, still mad at God. See, God has not failed you. He has not failed you. And he was able to talk to his dad. They had one little boy. The village would allow this little boy to go sell eggs to the missionary that's living on top of the hill because they don't allow him in the village, the original people. One little boy that went to the Lord, the little boy that brought the eggs every week. And what happened was, and this son went back and validated it. They had a church of 600 members, 600 tribesmen who knew God and worshiped God because of that one little boy. See, God never fails. He has not failed you. He has not deserted you. He is working. He said, don't cast that confidence away. Don't throw things out. Now, I know some things that I tried to do, like open the pickles. It's just not working. My sister said, you need one of these, so I got one of those. It won't work. I can't do it. I have no hand strength at all. So she said, turn it upside down and pound it on the bottom, and then it'll snap and it'll come open. Well, that works every now and then. So, see, I'm casting that away. Forget it. I don't do pickles. I just cast that away. Just abandon that. It means abandon. I abandon that idea. If we have pickles, one lady told me, if Wayne died first, that the bag boy at the grocery store would open your pickles before you went home. I'm keeping that in my memory because I like pickles. He said, don't cast away your confidence. I have confidence in God. He said, there shall be a performance of those things which were told you. There shall be every seed of the word of God that you confess with bold, blunt speech is going to come to pass. God is going to bring that to pass. You can't have confidence in a liar. Can you? Is God a liar?
No.
He is not. Now look at, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. Now look at verse 39. We are not of them who draw back. Well, look at 38. The just, that's you and I, the just, the righteous. Righteous and just is the same word in the Greek. Shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, in other words, you retreat, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So don't retreat. Don't draw back. Don't turn loose. Don't give up. Don't surrender. That's amazing, isn't it? Now look at Romans 4. Abraham doesn't have a book. God spoke to him that he would be the father of nations and that he and Sarah would have a child. Now, 25 years have come and gone. That hasn't happened. You could give up. I mean, I don't know. Would we last 10 years? Especially as you age and Sarah is 10 years younger than Abraham. When the child was born, Abraham was almost 100. Sarah was 90. Well, I mean, who cares at that point? I mean, not me. Do what you want to. But God spoke, see. Now look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope? Well, see, there's no human hope, no natural hope. At that age, there's no hope at all. But yet he believed in hope. He confidently expected the word of God to come to pass, even though it was too late for it to come to pass. Physically, it cannot happen. I heard the testimony of a man who raised his son from the dead, went down to the morgue. He'd been laying there 5 hours dead, and he raised him up. Why is that? That's confidence. That's certainty. That's God working. That's not giving up. That's holding fast. Don't draw back. Don't retreat. So, that he would become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy... See, he had the spoken word of God. He held, he didn't have it in a book. He held fast to what his meeting with God. Not weak in faith. Okay, what weakens your faith? The scripture talks about weak faith, little faith, great faith, strong faith. Not being weak, and talks about no faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't let his body speak to him. You know your body speaks. I don't know about your body. Mine has a very loud voice. It says, this is not working. And then it opens the medicine cabinet, which has very little in it because I'm not medicine oriented, though I'm not opposed to that, to see what's in there. You know, I'm to the point now, anything. I had migraine headaches till I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, never had another one. I didn't ask for that. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know God healed today. I didn't know anything past John 3:16. But when I found out about the Holy Ghost and eventually got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I never had another migraine. Now, I had 2 or 3 or 4 wonderful opportunities to have a migraine. I sensed them coming. There's a sense of things if you're a migraine user. And I had Dapracil, which is no longer on the market. When Wayne and I married, he was in the military, and I was out of Dapracil. And so I went to the local doctor and asked for Dapracil. He laughed and he laughed. He said, "That's been totally taken off the market. It was narcotic." And I said, "I loved it." Because you could take Dapracil and headache is gone. It is gone. Now they have some new things out, and fortunately I haven't had to try any of them. I would if I needed them, but I don't need them because I'm healed. My healing has manifested. It has come. And it hasn't come. It came instantly, which I like. But a couple of times it was like it saw an opportunity to come back, you know. And I had to take a stand. Well, I was on my way to do something and realized I'm on the verge of a migraine. I hadn't had one in decades. So I came by the church and get somebody to agree with me in prayer. And there's nobody here. Nobody. They're at the hospital. They're here. They're there. Except the guy putting dirt in the flower bed. This is the absolute truth. And I said, "I need prayer. I need agreement." He looked at me and he said, he was covered with dirt. He says, "Ma'am, I'm kind of dirty." He knew about laying on hands. And he looked at me and looked at his hands. He said, "I'm kind of dirty." I said, "I don't care." I got my healing from the man in the flower bed. We agreed together. So having done all to stand there for, so you keep standing. Now, 90 and 100 is too late to have a child. You knew that, right? Not weak in faith, he didn't let his body speak to him. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not. The word staggered, waver, and doubt are the same Greek word. If it says stagger, waver, or doubt, it's the same thing. Staggered not. When you stagger like a drunken man, you can, and you do this with children and grandchildren, draw a line in the dirt in your yard, if you have dirt, and we have plenty of dirt, and you try to walk on that line. You can't do that. Sober, you can't do that. You'd fall off the line. That's what that means. You just fall off the word. You just turn loose of the word. You let the circumstances, the pain, the drama, the time frame, you let it talk you out. So you had confidence. You were sure God didn't lie. You were sure you were healed. You began to say boldly, bluntly, "I am healed. You know, I am healed." And then time passed and you hurt more and you fell off. You drew back. You drew away. You retreated. Well, guess what happens then with your healing? Nothing. Unless it comes as a gift. I like that. Staggered not. The promise of God through unbelief was strong in faith, giving glory. When did he give glory to God? When he embraced the promise. Not when he saw the healing. We'll do the glory to God scriptures eventually. He gave glory to God when he embraced the promise. He began to celebrate. We have children. See, when it wasn't working, Abraham said to God, you know, the chief servant, he had a large household, many servants. He had 300 trained servants, which means he had a security force of 300, not to mention the cooks and all the other people, the house cleaners and the tent movers and all that. He had a lot of people. But the head servant, the chief servant, would have inherited all of that wealth. And he told the Lord, you know, Eliezer is going to inherit all this because you don't give me a child. See, even Abraham had moments where that is not confidence. That is not faith. He's wavered. He's staggered, has he not? And what does God say? Don't do that. So when we came into Pentecost, we came from the denominational church, and we knew a lot about John 3:16. That's what we knew. And so we found out that you're supposed to say things a certain way. That was new to us. You have to say it right. It won't work if you don't say it right. Well, see, to us, it wasn't a matter of heartfelt. It was just a procedure that we were learning. So we'd say something, and Wayne would say, "Do you want to restate that?" I said, "Yes, I would like to say that again. I would like to say that differently." Now, how am I supposed to say that? But see, the confession, it comes out of your confidence. It comes out of the promise. Because I've embraced and I'm holding fast to the promise, my words are sound and my body does not dictate me to change my confession. I will not be moved. You used to sing that. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water. Well, Wayne was cleaning out the flower bed and we've got some caladiums planted, which the armadillos pull up every night. should have a moment of prayer for Wayne. He's becoming a little irritated at the armadillos. And so in that flower bed are oak trees, 2 inches, maybe 3 inches tall. Have you ever tried to pull one of those out of the ground? It is unreal how planted they are. Wayne is very, very strong. He grew up on a farm throwing fertilizer bags from the back of the truck. He's extremely strong in his upper body. And here's this little 3-inch plant, and I watched him. He's tugging and tugging and tugging. Finally got it. And that's how my faith has to be planted and rooted and grounded. I will not be moved. I will not draw back. I will not relinquish. I said, body, you won't tell me this isn't working. It is working. And I got healing from my knee that way. It took me months. But I finally got it. It's amazing. If I gave any word of caution, it's not thus saith the Lord, it's thus saith Becky. Old people should be very careful with their knees. just telling you that. I finally got my healing from my knees. I did go and find out that they were bruised and not broken, and I thought that was wisdom. Follow God. And when God speaks to you and directs you, do not back up or retreat. In order to retreat, God has to say, you can turn loose of that now. Now, I went to college off and on for years. I mean, for years. And finally, I'm down to my final courses. One was humanities. And the first day I was in humanities, I cried all the way home. I have never heard anything more ungodly than what they did that day. By then, I'm teaching Bible, and I thought Bible teachers should probably have some kind of a degree. And I'd gone back and taken calculus and managed to pass that. That was a miracle of God, because I'd been out of school for a decade, probably 10 years or more. And I cried all the way home. And the office to drop an ad was in the old mall where it's now First Baptist in the Mall. I think they have a new name. And so I sent Wayne over there. I said, get my money back. I'm not going. Because I heard God say, you will never need your degree. Glory. You know how old I am? And I've never needed it. Never needed it. It's amazing what God knows. What you can hold fast to. What you can cling to. Like Abraham. And it said he was strong in faith. Here's the verse 21. Being fully persuaded. How persuaded? Fully. I mean, he knew what he knew that he knew. He knew. He didn't know in the beginning. He wouldn't have had the Hagar rendezvous if he'd known. That wasn't part of the plan of God. He sold Sarah out twice as his sister, said, she's my sister. That wasn't the plan of God. See, there was a learning curve there. So learn what you need to learn today and move on. Because as long as you keep moving, keep grasping, keep holding fast, and don't turn loose, it will happen. It is going to happen. It is done because Calvary's blood has secured it. The blood is on the altar of heaven. Jesus took that blood to the altar of heaven. Somebody asked me, how did he do that? I said, I have no idea. I can't answer a question that God doesn't answer. He took his blood. There's a heavenly temple. Scripture says that. And his blood lies there. And it says, Becky is healed. Becky is healed. Becky is healed. Becky is healed. Rebecca, Suzanne, Hudson, Cumby. I'm the third Rebecca in our family. Nobody's ever been called Rebecca. She is healed. 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 Every single word of God comes to pass. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Psalms 119, I don't think you ever read that. Your mother probably said that to you. They said no, or you said that to your children. You said, and don't ask me again, that's settled. And that's what God said. He said, I've settled. I gave my word and it's settled. In other words, that's the way it is. Don't try to talk yourself out of the promise of God. I've seen that done so many times. Yeah, but after what I did or after what I said or... Repent and cling to God's promise, it will happen. It has happened at Calvary. Because it has happened, it can manifest.